Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm happy to be in church. You know, I was telling my wife that, this afternoon that I was excited to get to minister. You know, I kind of felt like it was game day, and I knew I was going to win. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's a good way to come to church. I guess that'd probably be a good way to approach every day. Just look at it like it's game day. There may be some opposition, but no good game has no opposition, right? Nobody's going to watch a football team where, you know, if there's a bunch of babies on one, I mean, literally babies on one team, and they might watch it because it's cute or something like that. But if there was just a bunch of wimps on one team and the other team was really big and real powerful, and they just plowed. Nobody wants a team like that. They want the nail biter games. Amen. And so we should look at our life like that too. If there's some opposition, that's all right. Just makes for a better game. Praise the Lord. If there's some opposition, it just makes us look better when we win. Praise the Lord. Because I mean, when you walk all over a team, when you watch a game where the team, even if it's a team you're rooting for, if they just plow over the enemy or the other team and they just destroy them, you know, and they, maybe the score is really big and the other team has a really low score. How many know that you always will sit there a little bit and go, man, was this rigged or something? Like something was unfair. Maybe they need to do something because that just wasn't exciting. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, that we would just look at our lives a little bit differently, huh? If we would just look at it like God intended us to look at it, we have full victory, we have all the power, we know we're going to win, amen? And if the devil turns up the heat a little bit, that's all right, because it just makes us look better when we do, amen? It makes us look stronger. And they're like, people look at you and they'll say, you went through all that and you still won? Praise the Lord. Yes, I did. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I hope you're excited for the word tonight. I'm certainly excited for it. Praise the Lord. You know, this message is going to be, this is coming to you in a real interesting way. You want to hear about it? Yeah. Glory to God. I knew you did. Amen. This is the first time, and it'll probably be the only time unless the Lord leads me again like that. But this is the first time that I am going to, that the message is answering a faith-fixed question. Amen. So a faith-fix question came in, and it was a really good faith-fix question. And as my wife gave it to me, I can't remember, did you say it? Or did I said, this would be a really good sermon. I don't know if you're preaching on this weekend. And I was kind of, you know, seeking God on what to preach on. And she gave me the question, and I'm like, you know what? That would be a great sermon. And it goes right in line with the things that we've been teaching anyways. So it's going to be really helpful to us. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so it may still end up being a faith fix. I don't know. I haven't decided yet, but we're going to preach about it tonight. Amen. Tonight's message is called Fully Submitted. Amen. Praise the Lord. And the question was, how do I know if I am fully submitted to God? Praise the Lord. This is a wonderful question. How do I know if I'm fully submitted to God? Why is it such a wonderful question? Because first of all, this comes from a heart that wants to know. Yeah. You know, if you... You know, there's a ways to approach questioning. I've learned this in life. You know, like if you're going to question something like tithing, you know, there's a way. I've questioned tithing before, but I've questioned, I believe, in the right way. I want to understand it. Amen. I want to know it more. There's a way to, or you can question it because you don't want to do it and you're trying to figure out a way to get out of it. Amen. Well, the same thing with anything with God. You know, there's ways of questioning it. In this, the heart of this question wasn't such that the person was trying to get out of it, but they really want to know, how can I be assured that I'm fully submitted to God? At least I believe that. And even if I'm wrong, praise the Lord, even if I'm wrong, it sounds good. So we'll just go with it. Amen. But I truly don't think that I am. Amen. How do I know if I'm fully submitted to God? Do you know what's interesting about this question? This is a question I ask myself often. Am I fully submitted to God? Am I submitted to you, Lord? Are my plans your plans? Or are my plans my plans? You know what I mean? Like, I don't mean, has he agreed with my plans? I mean, do my plans agree with God's plans? Amen? Being submitted to God is the place where, this is the place where all the Christian life emanates from that point. Amen. We won't understand God. We won't know God. We won't know what he wants to do. We won't know any of these things until we get fully submitted. And I'm just here to tell you that being submitted to God is not a difficult thing. It's not something that you do have to ask yourself. In fact, I believe after we're done with this sermon, after I'm done with this sermon tonight, I believe wholeheartedly that everybody will leave here knowing, at least if they're not submitted, how to get submitted. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. And so this is going to be helpful for us. So why don't we go ahead and turn over to Matthew. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40. Praise the Lord. Now, this may seem like a weird spot to start, but it's actually connected to some other areas, some other scriptures that we're going to see here in a few minutes. Amen? Matthew 22, 36 through 40. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The word helps us. Amen? Praise God. It says here, start at verse 36, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." Glory to God. And so we see here, you know, of course, we should be familiar with these scriptures that Jesus was talking about, what we commonly shorten and call the law of love. Praise the Lord. But I want to point out something in these scriptures before we move on. And that's, number one, I love the fact that Jesus, when he was answering the question, what is the number one thing, Jesus answered it with two things. He said, there isn't a number one thing only. There's two things, and the two things go hand in hand. Amen? You can't love God and not love his people, praise the Lord, and you can't love his people without loving him. Those things to Jesus were so important, whether to God they were so important, that he had to say to them, and he wanted to make sure that they understood it. And this is written for all eternity. This was for us to understand that you cannot love one without the other, that they go hand in hand. They are two different commandments, but they work together. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so he says this, and this is really important because this actually makes me think of two other scriptures which are going to be the lead, really the lead into our message. Amen. But I want you to think about this as we're going. What is the focus of your day, or what is the focus of your life? What drives you? What compels you? What makes you do the things that you do? When these are questions, you know, I think, I can't remember if it was in this church or the other church, but it doesn't matter, that I recently said that there's a few questions you can start asking yourself to really understand, to get the answers that you're seeking. If you want to know if you're submitted to God, this is a good question to start with. What is the focus of my day or my life? What is the thing that drives me? What is the thing that fires me up? What is the thing that pushes me? What's the thing that makes me crawl out of bed the next day? Amen? What's the thing that makes me want to take care of myself? What's the thing that makes me want to do what I do? You know, if I have a good job, or if I have a job, why do I work that job? You know, some people think I just work to eat. Well, you know, that's good if you're in the world. You think, well, I work to take care of my family or something like that. Not that that shouldn't be the heart of a Christian, but that shouldn't be the foremost part of the heart of a Christian. The foremost part of the heart of a Christian should be, I work so I can supply God's kingdom. Amen. And if you say that, yeah, that's, I like that. I can agree with that, Pastor Jeff. Then you need to ask yourself, when I work, do I supply God's kingdom, or am I just feeding myself? Yeah. See, these are the types of things you can start looking at, motives. How do you know if you're fully submitted to God? You start in the place of what you know. What do I do? How does my day look? When I get up, do I just go through the motions? If I'm striving for more, is it just so I can have more, or am I looking to be a blessing to others? Praise the Lord. You know, the Bible tells us that no greater love has any man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. Jesus said that's the greatest love. Yeah. And yet here in Matthew, he says that you shall, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And so you're supposed to love the Lord with everything that is in you. And Jesus said there's no greater love than this, than one that would lay down his life for his friends. And being that this other commandment, the second commandment, is like the first, loving your neighbor as yourself, we have to take all these things into account, don't we? And when it says to lay down the life, he's not saying that we all have to sacrifice our life for the other, that we all have to die on a cross, or that we all have to be martyred for God or for his work in order to prove that we love him. But really the laying down of our life is, what is the focus of our life? Where do we start? You know, all the answers and all the answers to God, all the things that we could get into with God, start at this place, at this understanding. Have we truly given our life to Christ? And that's the first place we start when we ask ourselves, how do we know if we're submitted? Do you know, there's areas in my life all the time, and I believe that I'm as submitted as I know how to be. Amen. But there's areas of my life all the time that the Lord shows me, areas of my day all the time where the Lord says, you could do better by giving that to me. Now, he doesn't say those words specifically, but you understand that the heart of a person who is after God is somebody who is constantly looking, Lord, am I submitted to you? So, in fact, that question is a question we all should be asking every single day. When I wake up, how do I wake up and why do I wake up? Why do I think the things I think? You know, we get so caught up in our routines and so caught up in the things that we do that we forget that there's a work to be done, that God is calling us into something more. And some days, maybe God will have us sacrifice nothing. Some days, maybe he won't call us to come up higher into to give up our day to do this or that. But then maybe some days he will. The fact of the matter remains is it only matters what he wants from us in that time. There'll be plenty of times where God says, enjoy yourself. In fact, we understand this. When we are fully submitted to God, we learn how to get into a life where God does bless us, and we don't even have to worry about those things. Amen? Praise the Lord. What is the focus of our day? What is the focus of our life? When we seek to obtain, when we seek to grow, when we seek to have more, why do we seek to do that? You know, as a minister, I have to, why do I want to minister? Why do I desire to be in the ministry? Or why do I desire to have one church or two churches or three churches or four churches? And you know, the desire in my heart is to have more churches. Glory to God. Why do I do that? Why do I desire the seats to be full? See, I can desire it because it looks really good if a pastor has a full church. Right? It looks real good if the church is 300 people and you got two of them. Praise the Lord. That's 600 people. That's even better. And so it looks really good. So is that the reason that you want to grow? Is that the reason that you want to be in ministry? Or are you doing it for something more? Praise the Lord. We need to. I'm reading this book that talks about having a shallow faith life, basically, and the dangers of it. Glory to God. And it's really blessing me, but it's really opening my eyes to a lot of things. You know, it's good that we have a house here that looks good and that's taken care of. But you know, you can make that the focus of it too. You know, we've talked about, my wife and I talked about, you know, things like social media and stuff like that. They're all tools that can be used, but they should never be the focus. You know, the ministry, we should want to reach people because we want to help people, not because we want to grow the church. Our goal should not be to have big numbers in anything. In anything. It shouldn't be that way in our lives. We shouldn't be just seeking to have a certain amount of paycheck, but we should be seeking to be working the job where God would have us be, to do the things. Do you know there's a lot of people that don't realize they always get their minds at somewhere something else, and in doing so, they can miss God completely. I know an example. I know a businessman. I should say I know of a businessman who desires ministry. But this person has been blessed to be a blessing in the body of Christ. And conversely, I know a minister who desires that a business like that. And so I know both of these things, and I've seen both of these things work in both of these people. And what you see is you see the one desiring what the other one has, but both are very effective where they're at. And see, the thing is, if they would both fully embrace those things, they would both do the fullness of what God has them to do, that they would increase. The businessman would although the businessman is a generous man, could do so much more by being more generous, because that's the calling. And you see, the minister could do so much more by study and spending time with the Lord and getting full himself, so he could go out and feed people with that, with knowledge that he spent extra time doing, instead of worrying about how to make money. And you see, these are both different parts of the body, and yet both can get distracted by what they think is better in the other realm, instead of being distracted by the thing that God has them do. And so the desire in them should be to be fully submitted. What is fully submitted? It's not doing what you think you should be doing, but it's fulfilling the call that you have currently. And so if the call is something simple, like something we would think that a lot of people will struggle with, and it's not simple, but it's simple in the sense of nobody thinks of it generally as a great call, but you think of parenting or something like that. Maybe you have little kids and you have to, you know, we have some families in here with little kids, and although you know that you do a lot of work, not always a lot of people see that, not always a lot of people understand that, or they may look at, you know, the one who's building buildings and building cities and stuff like that and doing all this stuff, and yet here's a stay-at-home mom that people think it's a lesser thing. But if that's the call, it's the greatest thing. And see, that's one of the key things, is knowing where we're called and what we're to do. And really, a lot of times we can know that just by looking around. Praise the Lord. I said we can know that by looking around. Now, just because you're at some place doesn't mean you're supposed to be there. But you have to at least determine if you're supposed to be there. And if you're a parent, then you're supposed to be there. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so if you're supposed to be there, then other things will be sacrificed. But the whole idea is that, you know, when we are submitted to God, we think that it has to be a certain thing. But it never has to be a certain thing. It just has to be the right thing. Amen. So to be submitted to God is to look, is to first and foremost look at your life and say, what am I accomplishing by this? Do I, you know, the house of the Lord, is this the work that I am connected to? Am I doing am I fully embracing that? Right. Praise the God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, when we come to church, how do we come to church? When we come to serve, how do we come to serve? Do we come, you know, do we come just rolling in right before we're supposed to be there and just kind of, you know, throwing things together as we come in? Or do we come into the church ready? Do we come into church, you know, do we come into church with the expectation? Not just the expectation that you get on the way because, you know, you had a few minutes to drive, but I mean, did you come to church fully prepared for what you were called to do? Praise the Lord. These things matter. What drives you? What compels you? Or do you come to church because you've been distracted all week by your life? You know, we all have to work jobs, right? And if you have to work a job to supply your needs, you know, that's just part of life. But that shouldn't be the focus of your life. It's a means to an end. Glory to God. But it shouldn't be the focus of what you do. Now, when I read that scripture about the two greatest, the greatest commandment, I think there's two other scriptures that immediately came to heart. Amen? And these things are going to sound a little bit different, but they actually are right in the same vein. The first one is in James 4:7. I'm not going to have you turn there. We're just going to pull it up here. James 4:7. And it says, "Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." But the first place that the first part of this scripture is really what I want to focus on. Submit, therefore, to God. How do we love the Lord with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind? We do it by being submitted to Him. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You cannot not be submitted to God and His call and His will. And you say, well, maybe I don't know God's call in my life. That's fine. Because the thing is God's call is discovered as you walk it out. Right. You know, when you do what you know to do, that's the first part. But see, there's a lot of people that don't even know, they don't even do what they know to do. Yeah. They don't even do the first part, and they think, well, I want the greater call. Yeah. No greater call is going to come until you're doing the basic. Praise the Lord. What are the basics? Well, coming to church is a basic. Then serving in the church is a basic. These are the base things, glory to God. And so if we don't do those things, tithing is a basic thing, bringing something to the Lord. You know, there's a lot of times we talk about this, we have tithes and offerings, and then we'll have a special offering. We need new AC or something like that, right? We have a special offering, and a lot of times what we see is that the same amount of money comes in, people just shift the amount that they're bringing in. What is that? It's not helping anything. It's not changing anything. See, if you want more, you have to increase. Praise the Lord, because you can't just take what you have. You know, Jesus, if Jesus just took the few fish and loaves of bread and said, this is all we got and this is all we're bringing, God can't increase it, amen? But see, we have to connect to that and say that, you know, we're going to do more. And there's greater things to do. You get to a place where, okay, you're paying the bills as a church. And so what's the next step? The next step is to pay off the bills, glory to God, and so you can get into other things. Because you can't do outreaches if there's no money. You can't do, you can't increase if there's no money. Praise the Lord. And not that I'm just talking about money, but the idea is that we have to understand that to be submitted to God, we have to bring everything that we have before Him and say, what I have is yours. It's not mine. Whatever we hold back, whatever we're willing to withhold from God is something that we're not submitting to Him. And so we should go through our lives. We should go through all the little things in our lives and say, what am I withholding from God? What am I refusing to bring? Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be money or anything like that. Maybe it's your time. Maybe it's some, you know, time in prayer. Maybe it's just, Lord, I'll set aside, you know, maybe the Lord wants you to set aside 5-10 minutes a day just to pray for somebody else. But you're refusing to do it. That's not submitting to God. Maybe He wants you to set aside a few minutes a day to read the Word. Every Christian should be reading the Word every day. This isn't something. I remember when I first came in the church and how hard it was for me to read the Word every day. I was thinking, man, and then finally I had to tell myself, I'm like, if you just read one scripture a day, it's better than reading nothing. So start there. And that's where I started. Glory to God. But I'm telling you what, a Christian who is reading one scripture a day is not being a very effective Christian. We should be reading. We should be getting into the Word and letting it speak to us every single day. And you say, well, maybe I don't even know where to go. It's easy to know where to go because we have sermons at least once a week where we give you enough scriptures that you could mull over all week long and the teaching on it, so you already know what it means and you can get into the deeper things. Glory to God. We're talking about being submitted to God. Praise the Lord. But we're going to bring up the other scripture here, Ephesians 5:21. Praise the Lord. And this is like the other scripture in Matthew, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Now that word fear literally is reverence. To reverence Christ is to be subject to one another. It's not just a matter of being submitted to God, but being submitted to one another. How do we submit to one another? Well, submission literally means to yield. You yield your desires. You yield. You remember we said that I quoted the scripture out of John, which says, you know, no greater love has any man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. So how do we know if we're fully submitted to God? Is that one, we're submitted to Him, to His direction, but also that we're submitted to His people. Husbands and wives, are you submitted to each other? You're both His people. You should be. Are you submitted to one another in the church? Would you yield your seat to somebody else if somebody else was sitting in it? Would you just be blessed they were there? Or is the first thought in your mind, I wish they were sitting somewhere else because that's my seat? Amen? Praise the Lord. We can't get offended by all those things. And if we get offended, that reveals to us a heart condition that we need to change. That reveals us that there's something off in the mix, that we're not yielding ourselves to someone else. Because a yield says, no, you go ahead and go. Yield doesn't say, go ahead and go. That's not yielding. Praise the Lord. If we're going to yield to people, if we're going to yield to the church, you have to yield to your pastor. Praise the Lord. Desire. You know, there's a lot of people. I'm just going to be honest with you. We just had Reverend Greer in. Reverend Greer is fun. Great to be around. It's really exciting to be in some of his services. But sometimes, you know, when you're in the services week in and week out with your pastor, they can get kind of, you know, yeah, I hear pastor all the time, and he's going to, you know, he does this way and that this way. Praise the Lord. That's not yielding. Coming in and saying, Lord, I know that you have me here. And because you have me here, I know that you're going to speak through my pastor for my life. And so the things that he says to me, I'm not going to get offended, but I'm going to learn to yield myself to them. What is that? That's learning to yield to one another. Amen. And we're going to get into this more. Praise the Lord. You know, as I was going this week, I heard this in my spirit, and I loved it. I'm actually using it in both churches. And that is this: Satan loves to exploit how much we love ourselves. Satan loves to exploit how much we love ourselves. Now, maybe you're kind of like I was, and on the side of being a depressed person. You know, I was depressed all the time. I always had a low opinion of myself, a low esteem of myself, never thought highly of myself. In fact, I constantly had bad thoughts about myself. Do you realize that that's self-love? It's not the love that we think of, but that's still what it is. It's being self-absorbed. I was infatuated with myself. And if you're constantly thinking about how bad you are, you're infatuated with yourself. Just like the one who's always posting pictures on Facebook or Instagram of, you know, they're taking this shot or that shot, or the, you know, they're always trying to look pretty or cute or whatever, because they want people, you know, they want to show everybody how good looking they are or how good they think they are. You know, just as you look at that and say, that's self-absorbed, and you think, you know, you see it again. Oh, you know, like, have you ever gone through somebody's, like, you know, you go to somebody's, like, page or whatever, and it's just like all pictures of them in a slightly different angle. You know what I mean? They're all just like, they're kind of turned in a different angle, but they're all taken in the mirror or something like that. What is that? That's being self-absorbed. That's not yielding, praise the Lord. And so Satan exploits that. Whether it's good, whether it's bad, it doesn't matter. He doesn't care. If you're full of yourself, Satan's happy. If you hate yourself, Satan's happy. Why? Because it's ammo for him to use against you. And what he does is he encourages you to, he exploits that fact that you are self-absorbed, that you're so absorbed with yourself. Praise the Lord. And everything, you know, Pastor Tim always said it like this. I love it. He said, you know, if you're like a drain in the bathtub, you know, a drain in the bathtub, when you pull the plug in the drain, everything goes to it. Do you suck everything towards you? Do you desire everything to come to you? You know, whether it's good, maybe you want all the attention for all the things that you do wonderful and all the things that you do great. And so you're constantly, you know, you're sucking that way. Praise the Lord. Or maybe you just want all the attention because you think so terrible of yourself, and you're such a terrible person, and your life is terrible, and you just want that constant attention. It's the same thing. It's a drain nonetheless, whether it's a sewage drain or whether it's a drain for you know fresh water. It doesn't matter. It's still a drain. Glory to God. And Satan will exploit that with you, in you. And so these things we have to be aware of when we think, you know, when I approach God, when I want to know what my status is with the Lord. See, we can know this. We can live a life where we know every day, are we in his will or are we not in his will? And it's that simple. Because but you got to know some of the word. Praise the Lord. Because if you don't know the word, you know, somebody was telling me about somebody complaining about churches or something like that. And they say, you can have church ever anywhere. Well, that's a nice thought, but you can't. And this thought came to me when I heard that you could have church anywhere. Well, that maybe you could technically have church anywhere. But let me ask you a question. This would be the question that I would have for a person like that. How do you know you're right? How do you know you're right? So you're saying that whatever you come up with in your head, that's right, that's truth? Wow. See, that's weird thinking. That's self-absorbed thinking. That's thinking that says, man, that is the ultimate in human pride. I said it's the ultimate in human pride. It inflates yourself that you know that you can be so aware by yourself because of how awesome you are that you can have church all by yourself. Praise God. Turn with me to 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5, hallelujah. You know, listen, here's the truth. We're all self-absorbed to a degree. We all are. There's nobody, there's no human that doesn't deal with pride. None. It doesn't exist. There's not, in humanity, pride is the number one thing that we're going to deal with. Yeah. But we have to be able to recognize it as pride. Yeah. Glory to God. And you know, one of the only ways to recognize pride is to be submissive. If you won't yield yourself, like you could ask somebody, I wish Simon Cowell would get saved and join the church and like just do like church like interviews or something like that. Because what we could have is if we could have a Simon Cowell in every church and they come in, people come in and they say, okay, before you come in and join the church, you know who Simon Cowell is, right? We all know. Simon Cowell is he's the guy from American Idol who just like tells everybody they can't sing, that can't sing. He's the only one that's ever honest to people. He's brutally honest. We need a person like that at every church door. And what that person needs to do is the first time visitor comes in, this probably would not grow the church very fast, but the first time visitor comes in and they come in and say, the first thing I want you to do is you're gonna interview with Simon over here. Amen? Who wants to sign up to be the Simon of the church? We need a church Simon. That's like a new office in the church. We have the pastor, and then we have a Simon. We need a Simon in the church. And he's going to sit down with you, and he's like, okay, this is what you're going to do. You're going to start telling me some stuff about yourself, and he's going to tell you where you're wrong in your assessment of yourself. Amen? Because we all kind of need that. Amen? But learning humility, this is literally, submission is literally what humility is. When Jesus talked about it's the meek that shall inherit the earth. What is that? Somebody who's humble. Yeah. Somebody who can... you know, somebody who's willing to hear the truth about themselves. Amen. 1 Peter 5, we're starting in verse 1. Praise the Lord. It says, therefore I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the suffering and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. That word eagerness is also, it means of a ready mind. Now, this first part of this is instruction to a pastor. Amen. Shepherd the flock that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion. In other words, don't do it because you're made to do it. You need to learn to love it. Amen. Praise the Lord, exercising oversight, doing it voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for gain. Not I'm not doing this or don't pastor for the purpose of getting rich. Right. Amen. It doesn't mean that a pastor should have nothing, but it means don't do it for that purpose. Right. Amen. Yeah. We can learn a lot from that. And then it goes on to say, verse 3, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And so as a pastor, my direction is to be an example in life to the flock. I should live a certain way that is an example of how God wants us to live. Amen. Not lording over. It's not my job to tell you everything to do. Not my job to tell you to make you serve God or to come to church or to be faithful, to tithe and stuff like that. It's my job to explain the word to you, but it's not my job to go in each one of your lives and make sure you're doing it. Praise God. Hallelujah. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. You younger men, and literally, when it says younger men, what it's literally talking about is it's not younger in the sense of age necessarily, but it is in placement of position. You know, there's elders of the church, which are the deacons, the pastors, the ones who run the church. And then there's the sheep, the congregation, who aren't in necessarily a position. And that's what it's talking about here. Likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. By grace you have been saved, and not of works, lest anyone should boast. Right? We want grace working in our lives, don't we? We want grace to be active in our lives. We want grace to be something that we partake of, because grace, number one, is the only way that we're saved. But grace is also the thing that gives us the ability. It's the ability that as we walk out this Christian life, as we do the things that we're called to do, when there's opposition, grace is the thing that gets us to the other side. When something rises up against you and wants to take you out, grace is the thing that's there. Praise the Lord. You see grace in healing. When God heals somebody, that's God's grace coming in and doing something that you couldn't naturally do yourself. Amen. Praise the Lord. But it says God is opposed, or he resists the proud. God is opposed to the proud. The one who's full of themselves, the one who thinks that they can do it all themselves. Praise God. Hallelujah. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you. Praise the Lord. He may exalt you in due time, in the proper time. Casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. I think that's interesting as it's applied right here, because the devil is literally looking for somebody who is proud, somebody who won't be humble, somebody who won't be told. Listen, if you can't be told you're wrong, you're in a heap of trouble. Because that is the open door. If you cannot be told you're wrong, it is the open door for the devil to come in and destroy your life. And let me tell you, he is waiting for that open door. Especially if you can't be told. We need to be people who can be told. That we can be told that we're wrong. We're not always going to do everything perfect. But we can't be offended when we're told we're not doing it perfect. We have to have the right heart about it. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I want to say something here. This is important. Let's turn real quick. Flip over to Hebrews 13. I wasn't planning on this, but this goes along with it. And I just believe the Holy Spirit just showed me something to say. If you can't be told, remember I was just talking about that. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give account. Now, this is the part I want to focus on here. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Can I tell you something? If you are a person who is hard to approach, if you're a person who's hard to tell that they're wrong, you will get to a place, you'll put yourself in a position where people won't want to tell you, because if you react wrong. And if you get to a place where people won't want to tell you, especially your leaders, where they won't correct you, you put yourself in a position of being hurt. Because it's not your pastor's fault if he can't correct you, because when your pastor tries to correct you, you get mad and offended and you don't want to hear it. Listen to what I'm telling you. If we can make ourselves, we can take ourselves right out of the blessing, it would not be profitable for us to not let someone who is put in charge over us to watch out for our lives. It would not be profitable if they can't come to us. So you need to ask yourself, am I somebody who, when my pastor has tried to correct me, or when somebody tries to correct me, am I somebody who allows that to happen, or am I somebody who resists that? Because if you're somebody who resists that, you have opened your door. You've opened the door to not being able to receive correction. And what I mean by that is not that you just won't receive the correction. I mean somebody won't deliver it to you. Praise the Lord. Nobody wants drama. Nobody wants the trouble that. Well, praise the Lord. That's free, no charge. Go back to 1 Peter 5. Submission isn't necessarily an overall thing. Submission, true submission, is a moment-to-moment thing. And what I mean is, yes, God looks at our life overall. He's not going to judge us by one little act that we did. But we have to understand that it's the little things when we're building our life, when we're trying to be submitted to God, if we're trying to, it's the moment-to-moment things that determine whether or not we're submitted. Because those moment-to-moment things add up. Amen? The more moments of submission you have, the closer to full of the Spirit you're going to be. See, the whole purpose of being submitted is that you can receive and yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. If you're a person who resists being submitted in life, you're somebody who will never resist, you will always resist the Holy Spirit. You will never submit yourself to Him. The Holy Spirit, before He's going to do anything in you and through you, He needs you to be able to be at a place where you will yield to Him. In other words, the Holy Spirit is not going to force Himself into your life and force you to do something. What He's saying, you know, a lot of people say, Holy Spirit, make me do this. He ain't going to make you do nothing. You have to willingly submit yourself to Him. It's kind of like if I called Mark up here and I said, Mark, I'm going to animate your arms now. I'm going to grab your arms and start moving them around. And he just stood there and was rigid and wouldn't do it. What is that? It's resisting. And so eventually I'm just going to give up because it's not worth my energy to keep trying to make somebody do what they're not going to do. Amen. And so he has to learn, if he wants that to be effective, there was a reason for it, then he would have to yield himself to it. But the same way with the Holy Spirit, if we don't learn to be submissive in life, if we don't yield ourselves in life to people, we'll never yield to the Holy Spirit. And so how do you know if you're fully submitted to God? Are you submitted to people? Is it hard for you to submit to people? Listen, I'm just going to tell you the truth. If any one of us looks in our life and doesn't say that we resist submitting to people, you're a liar, because we all do this. How about when you come up on somebody and they're going under the speed limit? I'm speaking to myself here. And you're going just a little bit over the speed limit. And now you're mad because that person's in front of you, because they got there first. You're mad and you feel justified being mad. Why? See, this is exactly what pride does. You feel justified in being mad, but you both have equal right to be on the road. In fact, if you want the truth, if I want the truth, praise the Lord, which I do. Thank you, Lord, for helping me. Help me help them through picking on me. Thank you, Lord, for that. But the truth of the matter is this. If they're in front of you, they were there first. So they have more right to be where you are than you do. Praise the Lord. But how do you react? You get mad. You start getting angry. You start saying things. Maybe you even cuss. Maybe you even do these things. I didn't say I cuss. I've gone close a lot. Praise the Lord. But you understand, like all that anger, you know what happens to me? I love to pray when I'm driving, right? I mean, most of the time when I drive, I don't have the radio on or anything like that. The only time I ever do, honestly, if my family's with me, sometimes the radio comes on. That's literally the only time I listen to the radio in the car, is when we're all together, if we want to hear something where you're not going to just be spending time alone with the Lord. But when I'm driving around, typically, I'm just praying. That's what I do. I try to, I have my heart put towards heaven. But I've noticed this that almost every single time I'll be driving and praying, and I'll be excited because I'm like, here, I'm getting into it. You know, I'm just going to get into prayer, and I'm going to seek God, and I'm just driving, da-da-da-da-da. It's a nice day. And then all of a sudden, somebody pulls in front of me, and I'm like, prayer goes out the window. And now I'm mad. You know, I'm thinking about it. I'm driving and I'm like, now I'm figuring out how to get around them. I'm figuring out. And then when I go around them, I try to figure out how I can make sure they know I wasn't happy with the fact that they weren't doing exactly what I wanted them to do, even though they had no idea who I was. Right? Praise the Lord. I'm just giving you an example of my own life, but we know these types of things. That's not submission. That's inflating yourself. I'm more important. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. There's many such things. How about when family comes over? Praise the Lord. Glory to God for family. We love our families. You don't get to choose your family. That's purposeful. You don't get to choose your church family either. You might not like the person. Actually, you know something? If you want the truth, this would make the best churches in the world. You want to hear how to make the best church in the world? Take the one person that you can't stand in your church and make it your goal to be a blessing in their life and to submit to them. Whew, ouch. Hallelujah. We've been there. We know what it's like. You know what those people won't do? They won't make it easy. They're going to make it hard. But see, that's exactly what the love of God does. The love of God doesn't look at them and say, why or what? The love of God looks at them and say, what can I do for them? How can I make their life better? How about praying for a president that we can't stand? Whether it was the last one or this one, they're two different ends of the spectrum. But a lot of people couldn't stand either one of them. It doesn't matter. What about praying for them and releasing faith for them? I mean, I'm just telling you the truth. There's a way to walk and there's a way to not walk. And if you want the blessing of the Lord flowing in your life, you see, in all these areas, of course, these are little moment-to-moment things, but the more that you walk, you know, if you miss it in an area, it doesn't mean that you're not submitted to God at all and you'll never hear from Him. That's not what I'm saying. But the more of those moments we have, the more of the unsubmissive moments we have in life, the more we won't have submission with God. The more we won't yield to Him. Amen? I saw it kind of like this, and I thought this was interesting. A tank of gas is made up of gallons. And when you're driving, you think about miles per gallon, right? And gallons per tank. There's so many gallons per tank. There's so many miles per gallon. But we know this, there's a cost to be full, isn't there? You know, if you drive around to different states have different costs, but there's a cost nonetheless. There's a cost to stay full. And the same thing is when you're trying to be full of God, when you're trying to be full of the direction of God, when you want the fullness of God working in your life, there's a cost to it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Pastor Tim and I recently were on a little road trip, overnight road trip, and we were driving back on I-80 across the top of Pennsylvania. We were coming, and we were talking, and we were driving, and we're like, you know, we're just going, and we're just having a deep in conversation and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, he's like, man, something's not right in the car. He's like, it's starting to act weird. And as we're going, you know, it starts kind of shuddering. He's like, I think the transmission's slipping. And I'm like, wow, and I don't know anything about cars, so I'm just like, oh, okay, I don't know. But he's telling me, and he's like, no. We ran out of gas. We're on I-80. We're coming to the exit. Fortunately, we're coming to close to the exit, but the exit that we're exiting, we just drove by a bunch of gas stations. The exit that we're exiting on has no gas stations. It's in the middle of nowhere. I mean, and it's miles and miles. Not walking, like the closest one is 8 miles away, the closest gas station. Fortunately, he had AAA or whatever. But the point is that we got off, we pull off, you know, we coasted through, and then we had to push the car off the rest of the way. You know, it was one of those kind of deals. But then we sat there for an hour. We were making really good time, but we sat there for like a whole hour waiting for AAA to get the guy there to put gas in the car. And then we still had to go to a gas station, still had to go stop and fill up the rest of the way. You know, but the point is that, you know, there's a cost to being full. And what happens a lot of times is people are running on empty. They're running it out. And then they get stuck. And then they get behind. And then they're saying, oh, now we're playing catch up. Now we're trying to, you know, make up for all that stuff. And so we might as well learn to yield and be submissive ahead of time, because it'll just flow a lot better. We won't get stuck on the side of the road. We won't be, and you know, it was fine. We did fine. It didn't kill us to be caught up on the side of the road for a little bit, but it did stop us or slow us down some. And so the same thing is with God. As we're approaching the Lord, you know, if we want to be full of God, there's a cost to doing it. And the cost is called crucifying your flesh. Amen? Turn with me to Ephesians. We're getting close here to the end, but praise the Lord. Ephesians 5. There's Galatians. Praise Jesus. And I just can't seem to get away from Ephesians 5 for whatever reason. I think every sermon we're going to preach out of it, but it's good. Amen. But we're going to see this in context. It's really good. Therefore, be imitators in verse 1, Ephesians 5, 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Why could Christ do the things he did? Because he was submitted to God. And he proved he was submitted to God by being submitted to his people, by yielding himself to the things that that God wanted him to do. And he calls us to do the same thing, to be imitators of God, because that's who God is. God is submissive. He yields. Like, God could have demanded judgment on all of us. He could have demanded perfect justice to be handed down. He could have demanded it on us. But he yielded himself to us, praise the Lord, so that we could find him, so that we had a chance. And so when we look at other people, when we look especially people we can't stand, yielding yourself to them so they have a chance. Because if you look at somebody and you abhor who they are, the thing that you have to remember is that thing that you abhor is the same thing that takes their chance away. And so only by yielding to them are you going to bring in, you see, how do I know if I'm submitted to God? Because you submitted to his people. You're submitted to him in the things that he's called us to do. This is the life that God has called us to walk out. He's called us to lay down our own desires, to lay down our will. Sometimes, there's things that we can't ever get into, my wife and I, because of ministry, because of what we're called to. Because they would be a distraction from the things that we're called to. They're things that we greatly desire, things that if we could have our way, we would do it. Yeah. If there was a way we could possibly put these things together, we would, because it's things that we love. Yeah. But sometimes you're called to lay things down, and that's okay. We have to be okay with that, because God has called us with a higher calling. Amen? Goes on to say here, but immorality, in verse 3, immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Listen, to be an idolater, you simply just need to lift something up as more important in your life than God. That's what idolatry is. Idolatry is not that you're worshiping a certain God. It's that you're not worshiping the one that you're supposed to. That something to you is more important than what God has called you to do. How do you know you're submitted to God? Because you look at your life, praise the Lord, and you evaluate your life according to his word and say, am I living a life the best that I know how that is focused on him? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. You can see as a pastor why I love this question. Because this is a question that we all not only have probably had, but we should all have. We should all have this question, how do I know I'm submitted to God? And then find out why, how we can know, and then ask ourselves, am I submitted to God? The first step is how. The second step, am I, praise the Lord? Am I doing that thing? This is a wonderful, and that's what I mean. This is why I'm saying it's such a simple question, but it was so perfect to teach a body of believers, to bring a body of believers. And and here's the greatest thing about it. It doesn't matter if you knew this stuff already, because I knew this stuff already, and I'm even getting blessed as I preach it. I'm increasing. I can feel the knowledge in the things that God's doing, and I'm seeing reflections of my own life. Praise the Lord, that I've got to work on more. Glory to God. Because here's the thing about me. I don't know about you, but if you've asked a question, then you know. Praise the Lord. But if you've asked a question, then you know. If you're desiring to know how to know if you're fully submitted, then your desire is to be submitted. I don't want to be partially submitted. I want to be full of God. I want to be full of his ways. I want people to look at me and say, that man is full of God. Praise the Lord. There's, I was telling you about this author I've been reading. Just two of his books. I haven't even gotten through the second one yet. And I know just by the two books, just by what I've read, the man was fully submitted to God. And he was that way because he desired with everything that was in him to be more submitted to God than anything else. the first step, actually that's the first step in finding out if you're submitted or being submitted to God, is to have the desire to be submitted to Him. Yes. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, what things? The things we just read about. The immorality, the impurity, the greed, the covetousness, the filthiness, silly talk, coarse jesting, all these things that are not fitting, being immoral, impure, being an idolater, being covetous. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. So if you're a Christian living this way, now you're a child of disobedience and you have nothing to expect except for the wrath of God. There's no blessing in that life. Praise God. Is that really? Oh my gosh. I got to get moving. Hallelujah. I got seconds to get through this. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them, for it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake sleeper and arise from the dead and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise. Making the most of your time, which isn't being off on the side of the road, run out of gas, because you were distracted by other things. Making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation or excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, or be filled by means of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The reason we got to this place is because when it says drunkenness, it uses drunkenness because it's a perfect example of what wrong living is, and not just the drunk, not just being tipsy or whatever. That's not even the focus of really what it is. The focus is being filled. We know what drunkenness is. It's being filled to excess with a substance that causes you to be unsober, right? Anything that you are full of, that where you lose your sobriety in God, is wrong. Yeah. What are you full of? And that is how you know. Look at your life. You look at your life and say, what is my life consist of? What am I full of? What is going on? Are these things godly things? Or are these things distractions? If the bulk of your pursuit is for natural things, you are submitted only to yourself. I said, if the bulk of your pursuit of your life is for the natural things, what can I get next? Yeah. There's this, every week I drive by, as I come down here, I drive by a tractor. It's at a dealership. And I don't know if that's a tractor that I would buy. I just know it's a tractor I like to look at. Every day I drive by and I could put my focus on that thing. And every week it speaks to me that I don't have it or one like it yet. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it's a natural thing. But I don't spend the bulk of my time. The only time I think about it, really, I mean, I think about if I need a tractor once in a while. I think about, you know, I have a tractor. It's not this tractor. I need a bigger tractor. And that's not just a man thing. You know, it is one of those things I need. You understand. But my point is, in saying it, if I make that the direction for my life, if I make things a direction for my life, then my life is shallow and it doesn't mean anything. I'm not submitted to God. I'm only submitted to my desires. And so what do? I stay submitted to God. And when it's time, He brings the things into my life that bless me. I don't go seeking them. But see, so many people, they're focused on what is the next thing I'm going to do, the next thing I'm going to get, what is the next thing I can build for myself, what is the next greatest thing, amen? There's nothing wrong with having nice things. We should not feel bad about having nice things, but everything we have should be subject to Him. In other words, everything that we have, if God asks us to give it, that we would give it, and not just give it grudgingly, but give of ourselves and be pleased in doing so. You know, when it's time to give in the local church, when we have a project, that should be stirring and excited, because we're submitted to God and His people. Because we're like, if this is going to be better, if this is going to make things better for God and His work, well, praise the Lord, I want to be part of that. So we should never be moved to, and that's an area that we can always test our hearts in. What about when somebody needs something and you see somebody that needs something? I mean, sometimes you're going to see somebody that needs something, and the way, I remember we were driving one day, we were driving to church, and I had just gotten this nice winter coat, amen? And as I was driving to church, I see this homeless guy walking, and the Spirit loudly on the inside of me speaks, I didn't hear it like audibly, but I heard it was loud, go give that man your coat. And I'm like, I just got this coat. I didn't want to give up this coat. This is my nice church coat. I need a nice church coat. And so, but I listened, so I turned around and I gave it to him. But you know something? I didn't get a coat the next day. I didn't get a coat the next month. In fact, I had to wear an ugly coat for quite a while. And I even got made fun of once for wearing it. And at the time, I didn't say, well, I gave my coat to a homeless guy. You understand? But the point that I'm trying to make is sometimes it costs us sacrifice. Sometimes, or all the time, it will cause us to sacrifice. But eventually, I got so many coats that I don't need. You know what I mean? Like, I could give them away with ease. I could go buy a coat. If I could give away my coat now, at that time, I couldn't. But if I gave away my coat right now, I'd just go out and buy another one. Yeah. Praise the Lord. That's how we live now. But we didn't live that way then. You understand? There's sacrifice that needs to be made, but it's being submissive and willing in the direction that God gives you. So if you decide, how do you know if you're fully submitted to God? You just look at your life day by day, minute to minute. Say, is in this area, am I submitted? And if it's not, then submit it to Him. It's that easy. And that's where the power of God moves. That's where the blessing of God flows. That's where the open doors come. That's where people increase in ministries and in abilities, praise the Lord. It's not in the natural things, seeking after those things that's going to bless us. It's only in being submitted to God. Amen?